This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
May shotgun. Two receivers each side, one back Gibson. Here's the snap to May. He's in trouble. He's sacked back at the 30-yard line. Will Anderson Jr. Hat trick.
Is that the hat trick?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it
three
is.
On the day for Will.
Three sacks on the day for Will Anderson on Sunday. He was the best player on the field. Here was D'Amico Ryans on the improvements Will Anderson has made from year one to year two.
Yeah, the transition from standing up to putting his hand down, I think Will is, he's done a great job of progressing, and I think he feels much more comfortable with what we're asking him to do. Just allows him to use his God-given traits, his explosiveness, his speed, his strength. Like, he's able to use that, I think, even better, you know, from that three-point stance, and he's showing that he's improving upon it. I think the thing that was impressive about Will yesterday was just him just working his escape. He does a great job with the speed, the power, right, and moving offensive tackles back into the quarterback's lap, but the way he escaped and won on the edge yesterday, that was why he was able to get those sacks.
Baldinger, Brian Baldinger, former yes. NFL player who does Baldy's breakdowns on social media. He basically takes his phone out and films his laptop with cut-ups of the all 22 of certain yeah. guys around the league. He does them all day on Monday and Tuesday. He had maybe the longest one I've ever seen of his cut. His cut-ups are usually 45 seconds, a minute, maybe a minute 15 at most.
Yeah.
He went, you know, I think the maximum, unless you got that blue check mark, the maximum you get is like 2 minutes and 20 seconds. He used the full allotment on Will Anderson on Sunday.
That's where sometimes we like to play those sometimes, but this one just went on and on and on. And yeah. without the benefit of video, it's not necessarily, doesn't sound as good as it yeah. sometimes does when yeah. it's like a 30-second clip. So, because he was as active, as you pointed out, that was the kind of production in a game that you used to see out of J.J. Watt, where just J.J. would just fill up the stat sheet, not just with sacks or quarterback hits, but TFLs, tackles, assists, everything, in a way that you don't really see out of defensive linemen. So, yeah, it was that kind of day for Will Anderson. I think what D'Amico was saying about the separation at the top of his route, or just the he was calling it the escape, that's what Will had talked about all last season. If you can just, in your mind's eye, imagine what it's looked like a lot with Will Anderson is, man, yeah, he'll get up, he'll get across the line of scrimmage real fast, gets upfield, and then turns in, and then ends up bull rushing the offensive tackle. And a lot of times it gets credited as a pressure because he gets close to the quarterback, but he's actually just, he's not finishing the rush. He's kind of reverting back to what he did as a rookie. It's that last few steps where you got to really keep your hands active mm-hmm. and get separation from the offensive tackle that he looked a lot better at on Sunday. And some of that, I mean, you drill stuff up all offseason long. It's just different transferring it into the actual game. So hopefully that was really just, maybe it just kind of clicked for him in that game.
Yeah, the thing I loved about Baldinger's cut-up, Seth, is not, it wasn't the three sacks. And you're right, though, the three sacks, and I know the one in particular that I'm thinking of where you're talking about with the hand action. It wasn't just him just tipping the guy over and then running. You know, they had bad tackles out there. Let's call it what it was. But against bad tackles, you go get three sacks and four TFLs. That's what you're supposed to do when you're Will Anderson. The play that reminded me so much, the plays, plural, that reminded me so much of JJ were the ones that he chased down across the face of the line where he's on the left. And he's chasing down a running back running to the opposite side of the field. Like mm-hmm. like a bullet, you know, just racing across the field to make plays. Just unending energy from Will
they
Anderson.
They have, it's that whole swarm mentality with a defense like this. It just pays dividends over rep after rep after rep.
Yeah.
And it's, Will's one of the lead dogs in terms of playing that way. The other guy, having D'Amico Autry back, it makes me feel good because D'Amico Autry is that same type of player in terms of his ability as a defensive lineman to make plays on the sideline. And honestly, maybe more so than every other defensive lineman other than Danielle Hunter, Danico Autry is really good at corralling guys in space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a defensive lineman, getting that quarterback when he's out in the open field and he's looking to throw, like, defensive linemen just are athletically these days can't match up with a lot of quarterbacks. Danico does a really good job of taking the right angles, getting his hands in passing lanes, and he ends up getting sacks where a lot of other defensive linemen maybe just would have seen the quarterback throw the ball away or run for positive yardage.
There's a couple good, there's some good thoughts on Autry on the text page I want to get to in a second, but just to pay off here, with Aiden Hutchinson now going out for what I would assume is the season with this broken leg, there were people talking yesterday, like, if they make it to the Super Bowl, he could be back. This thing was dangling. Yeah, I don't know, man.
I think it just depends on how clean the break was.
Maybe, but yeah.
Neither here nor there.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Either way, we know he's going to miss, in all likelihood, the rest of the regular season at least. He was the front runner for Defensive Player of the Year coming into Sunday. So he's done now. He's out for that award. That combined with Will Anderson's day that he had on Sunday, Will is second on the odds board, tied with Fred Warner behind TJ Watt for Defensive Player of the Year odds right now. TJ Watt is the heavy favorite at 3-2. Fred Warner and Will Anderson, 8-1. Ahead of Chris Jones, 9-1. Dexter Lawrence, who's having a great year for the Giants, at 12-1. Nick Bosa, 16-1. Max Crosby, 18-1. Will Anderson jumped over all of those guys.
I would say the limiting factor for each one of those guys, it would be, let's see, in the case of TJ Watt, the limiting factor is actually Justin Fields, because you just don't know exactly what that team is going to be.
Yeah.
As far as how does that play out over the course of the season.
Yep.
The limiting factor Fred Warner, I guess it's Christian McCaffrey. So the fact until the 49ers get Christian McCaffrey back, I don't know if they're going to be just same team.
You have yet to come up with a limiting factor for the individual. It's based all
right,
on what
right,
their teams
yeah.
do.
Yeah, yeah. No, you look at it, what's the narrative about all of this? And the Texans have the bonus of the narrative being like, okay, hey, Will Anderson is a part of this turnaround for the Houston Texans and this resurgence.
Yeah.
So the limiting, who's the biggest limiting factor for the Texans team as a whole right now? I guess maybe it might be either Joe Mixon or Nico Collins and the health thereof.
Yeah, and maybe just the overall schedule difficulty increasing in the second half. They play a much harder schedule the second half. I think the thing Will Anderson has going for him over guys like Fred Warner, Chris Jones, Dexter Lawrence in particular, although Chris Jones does a pretty good job of putting up numbers even from the interior, Will plays a position where he is set up to put up some sexy numbers, man.
Yeah,
you know, like that's the thing. It's really hard for a middle linebacker or an interior defensive lineman, unless you're Aaron Donald, who, by the way, put up crazy numbers as an interior defensive lineman. It's really hard for guys at those positions to win the award unless they're extraordinary, like Aaron Donald. So I think Will's in a good spot, man. If he stays healthy, he's got plenty of help. He's got more help coming on that defensive line with Danico Autry now. Will's in a good spot.
The in terms of teams that the defenses they face where quarterbacks give up a lot of sacks.
Oh, okay.
Minnesota gives up a lot of sacks, unfortunately. So they've already that Tennessee. So they still play Tennessee twice. Will Levis takes a boatload of sacks.
Yep.
And then really honestly, Jacksonville takes a boatload of sacks. But then other than that, they face a lot of teams that don't take a lot of sacks at all. Green Bay is the second best at not taking sacks this year.
Okay.
Baltimore is the best at not taking sacks.
Okay.
Yeah, so they've got some challenges ahead of them.
Even
Buffalo,
better.
They've already faced Buffalo, which is a good team at not taking sacks.
Yep.
Indianapolis doesn't take a lot of sacks.
Yep. Here is Will Anderson talking about that. Danielle Hunter. How has Danielle Hunter helped Will Anderson since he got here?
Well, man, Danielle is such a blessing to have on this team and having the D-line group, man. He's taught me so much, and every time I see him, I give him a big hug. Like, I don't have any brothers, so, like, all of these guys that have been in this group, like, I look at them as my big brothers, and I get on their nerves, and I say, Danielle, bro, I thank you so much because I've learned so much from him, and he just kept me composed. He kept me grounded this last 2 weeks. Like, bro, it's coming. Just keep chopping. Like, keep getting better, man. And he kept me on edge. Like, hey, don't get lax. When you get lax, you start getting sacks a little bit. Your body starts to wind down a little bit. Keep going, and he helped me out a lot today.
Forgot about the dynamic of Will growing up in a house with five sisters or whatever it is. He's got a bunch of sisters.
But they were cruel to him, too.
Yeah.
Remember? We didn't know about that. Somebody wrote a really good story last year. Can't remember what
Tyler
it was.
Tyler Dunn.
Oh, it was Tyler Dunn, Oh, yeah, at the beginning of this season.
Yeah.
Talking about how his sister's just diabolical stuff.
Yes.
Just really messing with him when he was a young kid.
Yeah.
Like, really some Menendez brothers type stuff. I'm just joking. But because at first when he's saying, like, yeah, I didn't have brothers and now I'm treating these guys, I'm like, man, you didn't live the real Big Brother experience where your older brothers really just terrorize you. I feel like his sisters may have terrorized him worse than most Big Brothers.
They terrorize him into becoming one of the best defensive linemen in all of football. Terrorize away, if that's the case. Just, you know, nothing too crazy.
Isn't he still scared of the dark because of his sisters?
Yes, according to that story, he's still scared of the dark.
What the hell?
Have we noticed on the Sunday night game this year, back in week two, when they turned all the lights down, did Will go running back into the locker room until they turned the lights back on? Do we know?
That would be awesome if they put up like the little when they put up the little bullet points underneath the player at the Super Bowl, and they're like, has a dog named such and such.
Yeah, Will Anderson
loves to eat steak. Scared of the dark.
Afraid of the dark. Yeah. Afraid of the dark. Question on the text page. Seth, how does a defensive lineman like DeNico Autry handle coming back midseason? How many games until he's, quote, game ready?
That's a good question because he's not allowed to practice with the team at all. And a lot of it's just getting back into football shape. I think it was John Harris talking about that. I think he was talking about this with Dylan Horton the other day that Dylan Horton, there's a big difference between going from the rehab side of things to going over and practicing.
Yeah.
And especially Dylan Horton obviously had a whole lot of, you know, he's coming back from cancer treatment, so physically it was going to be a challenge. It's really, with defensive line, it's easier because they rotate. So it's a lot easier to put a defensive lineman on a pitch count. And you might just, you get back out there and you go three or four snaps, and as soon as the clock stops, you swap out. So it's not as big a deal, especially for a veteran like DeNico Autry. So I could very easily see him, you know, show up in a notable way, even with limited reps in the game on Sunday. So that's, the endurance isn't a factor unless all of a sudden there's injuries and DeNico Autry's got to play 65 snaps.
Right.
Remember, we saw this with J.J. Watt when he came back. Now, he was coming back from that torn pec, but he came back, and that first game versus the Bills, was the Bills his first game?
Bills playoff game was his, in 2019, was his first game back. Yep.
It took him really the first half. He didn't quite look that sharp, and then right at the end of the first half or at the beginning of the third quarter, he had a big play, made another couple big plays, but played a lot of snaps, and then next week he looked tired.
Against the Chiefs.
He looked like his legs weren't working quite right.
Yeah.
That was a situation where they just threw him right into the mix and he played a boatload of snaps. I don't think you have to do that with DeNico Autry right now.
Text message. I'm not going to lie. This feels weird as hell. The Texans are 5-1. I'm just enjoying the ride. I texted you this yesterday and I didn't get a chance to do it yet. The Texans have only been 5-1 one other time in their history.
Yeah.
And it was before I got to 610. I was on a different station back then. So maybe I was following the Texans through a bit of a different lens than I am now, you know, just in terms of the intensity with which I'm following them.
Yeah.
You were here. You were with 610, I believe, in 2012 when they made the playoffs that year, right?
Yeah. I was part-time.
Yeah. So you were back and covered, but you were covering and focused on the team on a day-to-day basis. I don't remember being, and I'm blaming myself too, but definitely a big chunk of the fan base, being nearly as nitpicky about them being 5-1 back then as it feels like we are now. Like, it feels like the first four wins were all like, yeah, but they had all these penalties. Yeah, but they had a punt blocked. I can't believe they kept these sucky teams around for 60 minutes worth of football, and they had to win the game in the end. Even the game against the Patriots. Like, yesterday I came in and said, man, they won by 20 in New England. I'm going to enjoy this thing. And yet still I'm kind of dipping my toe in the water with various content out there in the city and whatnot. And I'm like, people are doing this about a 20-point win over the Patriots? Like, yeah, but they had a lull, and yeah, but.
No, I get it because of the Vikings loss, you know? I mean, if the Texans had only, if they'd lost at the very end of the fourth quarter to the Vikings or something, I think that maybe there would have been more confidence. It's that And even I think the Bills victory wasn't as convincing for people just because the Bills obviously, and you could see it last night, they've got flaws offensively. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is how my night started last night watching the game. Brandy and I are sitting down watching the Bills play the Jets. And Brandy just out of nowhere was like, I really feel like Josh Allen didn't play that badly against the Texans. And I was like, all right, now we got to argue about this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, he had the worst completion percentage of his career. And she said, and I'm trying to be a good husband, you know, not mansplain this to her.
Right.
And she started pointing out like how bad his receivers are and how he really doesn't have many good options. And then we're watching the game and receiver after running back is batting the ball away when it's in their vicinity, and I'm kind of like, oh. And then what's his name? Their one good receiver,
Khalil Shakir. Yeah,
he was on a pitch count. He got into the game, gets a reception immediately.
Yeah,
and I'm like, yeah. And Shakir wasn't playing versus the Texans. No. I'm like, oh crap. She's got a point.
I texted you.
I was like, all right. Brandy just said that Josh Allen didn't play that bad versus the Texans. And by about the end of the second quarter, I'm like, there's nothing that angers me more than my wife being correct about something.
Right? I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. So there is, the Bills are not the juggernaut that they were that they looked like in the first couple games of the season.
Yep. All right, well, let's get to headlines. Speaking of that Monday night game, we'll get you up to speed. What happened there? Spoiler alert, the Bills won, but there were some interesting storylines in that game. Suspension for the Texans, get one back from suspension and then another one going right onto the suspended list. Astros news as well yesterday with the coaching staff. We'll get to that. Major League Baseball playoffs. We've got a lot to get to in headlines, and we will do it coming up next.